You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Rip Torn dies at age 88. See that?
I did. I recognize the face from the Men in Black movies.
Yeah.
That's where I know him from.
Yeah. Why do people have to die so young?
Well, 80-something's not that young.
88 is young.
It's not that young.
Yeah, it's kind of young.
I mean, sure, I would have had Rip Torn live to 105 if he could, but 88's not that young.
It feels like that to me.
Well, I guess it's all about perspective.
I guess. Did you see Gilbert Arenas crash in a Maybach?
He is one of those guys where that story doesn't surprise me. Like, you could tell me Gilbert Arenas, I don't know, was hijacked, used his gun to retake his car, and I'd be like, okay, that's what that's the life that Gilbert Arenas leads. Nothing about what you just said surprises me.
Right. I can certainly see that, too. That would happen. 7378037776 if you want to get in here.
Can we talk about the brand manager? Kevin Durant's brand manager?
Oh, yeah.
Also known as brand ambassador. Which one's better? Brand? Dell, do you have a brand manager? Is it Raheel?
No, he isn't. I wouldn't allow that. I don't have one, but I've been told how important a brand is. It may be even more. I've been told it might be even more important than actually getting paid for your work.
Branding is everything. What? That sounds specific, but branding
is not that specific.
I've been told branding is more important than even getting paid for your work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. Your brand is everything.
Well, your brand is everything.
Like, John's brand is clearly Coors Light. We know that.
Right.
Mine is a variety of things. Handyman.
Your brisket.
Plumber.
Your brisket.
I'm not listening to your little comments in my
No,
ear.
That's...
So anyway... Yeah, by the way, there's another brisket picture coming soon. I'm not letting anyone try to get me down. One guy, actually, this guy Five Dimes or Five Star Wager or whatever, he listens. He's from Houston. He lives in Las Vegas. He's a professional gambler now. And he'll listen to us from time to time. And he's like, Lance, this guy on the drive time that I should listen to is trying to crack on your brisket. I'm like, they're trying to crack on my brisket in drive time Vegas?
What has happened?
So I just had to send him a good picture of the moist center cut.
The one you spit on?
No, it's just completely meat juice.
Didn't that look like some kind of spittle?
It doesn't look like spittle.
I don't know what is more disturbing to me right now. The one that you spit on or meat juice?
Meat juice.
I don't know which one is worse.
Probably meat juice. But that's what it was. It's also known as rendered fat, but some people call it meat juice. Anywho, back to my, which is not, meat juice isn't my brand, but getting to, back to Kevin Durant. So, you know, there's a thought that, so there's Russell Westbrook all of a sudden, right? Just nobody. Okay. Harden gets traded. We know that. That's not a big deal. Kevin Durant made a conscious decision to go, and that felt like a little bit of a surprise because it felt like they were building something pretty good. I mean, they had just been to the finals. At Oklahoma City. That's a good team. You usually don't leave teams that are going to finals. Now all bets are off. Now players, and we need to get to that too. Adam Silver is recognizing our league has a little bit of a problem on its hands. Yeah. And he acknowledged it at the meetings. At the owner meetings.
He called players demanding trades while they're still under contract disheartening.
Disheartening. Well, we'll see what you can do about it. I don't think he'll be able to do anything about it because you've let it go this far. Short contracts, the players have all the leverage now. You have short contracts. They made you change the name of owners. You have supermax deals where guys get supermax and can still be demand trades out. Like, they have no – I'm telling you, I just think contraction is the way to go. Eliminate about 100 player jobs, 140 player jobs, and just give the rest of the money to the best players and disseminate the best players from the other teams. Regardless – so his brand manager, Randy Williams, for Kevin Durant, Bleacher Report showed a picture of, it was originally Harden, KD and Russell Westbrook. Then it was KD and Russell Westbrook. These are at the team, the photo shoots before seasons. Then it was Paul George and Westbrook. Now it's just Westbrook. And Bleacher Report just had those four pictures, no captions. So Randy Williams said, no one wants to play with Russ. Everyone blames everyone else except him. When it comes to the Thunder, losing, people have bad basketball mixed up with loyalty. Russ is all about Russ. He's more worried about stats versus playing winning basketball. Everyone can say what they want, but owners, and now there's just a lot of sentences with exclamation points where they just need to be commas. But owners and GMs in the NBA know the real about Russell and his style of play. So fans can say what they want, but moving forward to the future, Oklahoma City will have to trade Russ, and he will have to become a better player teammate. He can keep that intensity and competitiveness, but reality has set in. All caps, no one wants to play with him, 7 exclamation points. And that's coming from Kevin Durant's, one of his best friends. And I don't think that's not a coincidence. That's not something he's just making up. I think that's probably the real thing, is people just don't want to play with the guy who just pulls up from 30 and launches, and he has no sense of being a good teammate. Not on the court, at least. Now, you said earlier when we kind of hinted at this that you think that could be an issue with James.
I think
it could be. You think it is, though, for sure?
I don't think there's any question. I did hear it was, I believe, Gilbert Arenas and someone else that was on a podcast. That they were talking about, you don't want the guy that you don't want to guard in the NBA.
Yeah.
The one guy you do not want to have, that's your job, is to guard him, is James Harden.
Right.
Because he has the ball so much. And so he's just going to wear you out. That's the last guy in the league that you want to cover, because at sooner or later, you're just going to be tired.
And he's talented.
And and he can get by you, and he can make you look bad. But 82% of the time, he's got the ball in his hands. So it's like it wears you out. Is it surprising to you? Would it be shocking to you that guys are like, I don't want to stand there and watch James all day?
No. I don't think it's...
You know what?
But I think it's a big difference, though. I do think that James Harden gets along with a lot of his teammates. I don't know the rest does. James, we know, parties with his teammates, goes out and does stuff with PJ Tucker. I mean, there's a lot of guys who are tight with James and who like James and are friendly. I don't disagree with you.
I don't disagree with you.
I don't think
he's unlikable. I just think that he's not someone, if I had a choice to play with or without James Harden, I'm going to choose without.
Now, James,
because I want to have a role.
How much of that is because James says this is the way the game should be played, and how much is it because that's the way the Rockets played? You understand what I'm saying? Because Russell Westbrook is just like, this is who I am. I believe in myself. I'm going to fire up 40 shots, and that's just the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
I just differentiate between Westbrook and James, primarily because one guy is just crazy efficient. But I think the Rockets want it to be that way.
I do, too. I agree with you. We're very efficient when James is playing isolation ball. But let's make no mistake about it. That ain't changing. And James ain't getting the ball out of his hands. James has been an MVP candidate for the last 5 years, or whatever it's been, 3 of the last 4 years, and he's been sensational. However, I don't want to play with that.
I guess the difference is, so this is the difference then. I think there are people say, I don't want to play with Russell Westbrook. And I think there are other people who say, I don't want to play in that system.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the difference.
I would say that.
Differentiating James versus the system has gotten harder.
Now, what's funny, though, is James, during the All-Star game, you see how much he defers?
Yeah, I think it's in him. I don't think, he defers sometime in the playoffs when it's
James,
but no, and James has been the number three guy on that team. I do think James can be has the capacity to be a good teammate. I'm not sure he's a bad teammate.
I don't disagree with that. I just think that, and I think it's gotten to Chris Paul, just like it would get to every other guy. Dude, give the ball up. Yeah. Dude, we can't, I mean, It's we can't because I can't flourish if I'm just standing there and all of a sudden because there are some like I talked about this plenty. PJ Tucker, well, he missed. He was 0-for-4 or he was 1-for-4. How you can't get that guy the ball? He's only taking 4 shots. You can't get into a rhythm.
Sometimes you gotta you're harder to guard when you're on the move. Moving targets are harder to guard.
And this, guess
and
what?
And so you're caught between. Well, we're pretty successful doing it this way. We have a lot. The numbers show you the success. Versus, yeah, but can't we do it both ways? And Chris Paul is right. You can do it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
James Harden is too talented. Chris Paul is too talented. The Rockets have the ability to do it multiple ways.
I think that James is stubborn in this way. I ain't moving without the ball. I don't give a rat's ass what you say.
Well, he's not coming off screen.
No, he's not. He's not doing all that. I'm not running around. I'm not doing that. And then I might not even get the ball. I'll stand there and dribble, and then I'll make my move. But I ain't going to go run around and hope to get the ball from you. That ain't happening.
James is a star wide receiver who knows the play's not coming to him. I'm not Randy Moss. I'm not even going to run off the ball.
That's what it is.
That's true.
That's what it is. Right. Let's when we come back, we'll get Larry in here because Larry wants to talk about Jadeveon Clowney. So, you know, we kind of joke about the Clowney stuff. Some stuff actually did pop yesterday with Pro Football Talk had a story that Bill O'Brien and Brian Gaines saw Jadeveon Clowney's future differently. O'Brien does not want to give him the extension, and Brian Gaines did want to. And so now, what does that mean for Jadeveon Clowney, who's holding out? Now does it make it even more likely that he sets out all of camp, and then does it get into the season? We'll get to some of that and more. 713-780-3776. It's The Bench right here on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Hey.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 817 ESPN 97.5 back here. Come on, 713-780-3776. See what Larry has to say about Jadeveon Clowney. What do you say, Larry?
What's going on, John and LZ? How y'all doing?
Hey, what's up, Larry? How we doing?
How's Stafford doing?
Love, man. Look here, before I get into Clowney, let me do a couple things. I wonder if every time I hear that the wire bump, when y'all play that bump, man, I always wonder if Kanye missed that Kanye, man, instead of the dumbass Kanye that he has become. that's when he was really a genius, man. I mean, you think about it. I mean, that song there is just one of those classics that you can listen to, man, because of that sample, man. And I just always wondered that. And every time I hear it on y'all show, man, it puts a smile on my face because I know how dumb Kanye ass is right now. But look, I want to talk about your meat juice for a minute, LZ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Keep putting your brisket out there, dog. You know them boys like that pink ring, man, so don't even trip on that. If it's soft and if it's moist and it's tender, boy, it's going to chop that brisket right up in half, if you know what I'm saying. So don't even trip on that.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about James Harden real quick. And I like this conversation, man, because, see, I'm one of them dudes that played back in the day where you had to be able to dribble the ball and get to the basket. So I like the way James played basketball. But I also played against dudes like Elmer Bennett and Sean Gay and all that were ball dominant. And a lot of times, you really don't want to guard them dudes because they can make your ass look like a clown, man. But the thing with James is that James has to understand that he has to get to a point where what's more important to him. Because he got plenty of money. It's going to be about what his legacy is going to be in terms of championship. And I think that's what's going on with the NBA now because all these dudes really don't care like we did about winning a championship to get that legacy thing going because they are getting paid so much money, LZ. And so when you getting paid that kind of money and you Jimmy Butler and you go to Miami, you know your ass ain't going to Miami to win no games, man. So you going there to get that cash over, which I can't be mad at him because there's plenty of Brazilian women down there too, and you know how they go. So I ain't mad at Jimmy P for that.
No. Now, here's the problem, though, is that James might be thinking, Larry, you know what? The only way I can win with this team, with Chris Paul not playing as well, I got to dominate the ball. Who's gonna take the shots? PJ Tucker? Who? Clint Capella? Who's going to take it? Eric Gordon? Okay, we'll give Eric Gordon some shots. But if we're going to win, I got to take the shots.
But here's the thing. There's plenty of opportunities in the game that James can get off the ball and still get the counter or get a better shot by letting Chris Paul dictate things for him. It's just a facilitation thing. He cannot play that hard all the time and think that it's going to be something that he's going to be able to sustain when it comes to playing against dogs that are going to lock him down, man. And we've seen him get locked down by Kawhi and all them boys in the playoffs, man, because it just looks like they know that that kind of offense that James is going to run, all they have to do is just wait on him, and that's what they do. But all I'm saying is that James has to become more selfless than selfish. And I love his game, man. I love James as a player and all that off-the-court stuff, man. You know, he's flamboyant. He reminds me of Marvin Gaye back in the day, wearing his shirt open with the nappy chest hair and all that kind of stuff, man. So I'm good with that. Now, hey, LZ, let me talk to you about Clown if y'all can give me 1 minute, yep. Man. Look, LZ, you've watched a lot of film on Clowney. Do you think Clowney can be a dominant defensive lineman?
I don't use the word dominant. Like, when I say dominant, I mean dominant. So, no, I don't think, like, James Harden is a dominant player, okay? Let's say what dominant means. To me, that's what I want to define dominant. No, I don't think he can be a dominant defensive lineman. I think he can have dominant moments and dominant flashes, but I do not believe that he can be like JJ was, like Khalil Mack is, like Aaron Donald is. I don't see that with Jadeveon. There's nothing wrong with it, but no, I wouldn't. That's what I call dominant. I call dominant being able to take over entire games and entire seasons.
Okay, I get it.
That's me, yeah.
Now, let me ask you this, though, then. So if he's good enough to be your second-best player on defense, and I think he has the opportunity to be able to be dominant because he has things that a lot of players don't have, why would you mess around with him like this going into a season where you know how important it is for you to get to the next level in your team history? The Texans continuously mess around over these guys like this, man, and it doesn't make sense because if you're in the business of winning football games, then you know damn well that you cannot mess over Jadeveon Clowney when he didn't put up numbers when J.J. was out and when J.J. came back. Now, I know the sack numbers get everything skewed, but come on, man. Right. We know Clowney got to be in the eighth. And what's giving him Von Miller money, man, versus giving him Mike Peters money? It's a big difference because Clowney has earned it. Fellas, I love y'all's show. Keep doing what you're doing. And LZ, that brisket, yeah. Okay.
All right, thanks, Larry. I don't know how they're messing him around, though. I get the sentiment. But there's two things you can do here. You can either give him a franchise tag, which is going to pay him as one of the top three defensive linemen in the league or defensive ends, or you can give him a long-term contract. And I just don't think it's messing him around if you don't believe that he is going to be worth, if you think that long-term contract, let me put it this way. I'm doing cross-sport references here, but if you in your heart gave Chris Paul that contract and you knew that there was a good chance that Chris Paul, that contract was going to come back to bite you a little bit, then you made a conscious decision to take on a potentially bad contract. I think there's an argument against stuff like that. And I think the Houston Texans are in the same position. I think they believe that there is a potential that Jadeveon Clowney, number one, there is a question about whether they fundamentally believe he's worth the money that it's going to take, aka, you know, Khalil Mack money. If his agent's going after top dollar, which he probably is, then you have to decide, A, is he worth that money? And when their decision is no, he's not, and then you say, well, why not just give in to it? You give in to that, and you knowingly give somebody something that you consider a potentially bad contract, then you are on the hook for that. Now, more and more of it is guaranteed than ever before. So now, when you give that contract out, it's probably going to be the first 3 years are basically going to be guaranteed. That's the money it's going to end up being is 3 years are guaranteed. And you have to really believe that he's going to work hard. And there have been concerns in their own building about how quickly he comes back from injuries and things like that. When the whistle blows, he plays hard. He does play hard. That is true. But there is a belief that if you're going to be a good teammate, you got to be working hard in the offseason. You got to be doing this. You know, you got to be doing the things that aren't just when the whistle's blowing. And I think there is a concern about Jadeveon Clowney in that regard in that building. But And it goes all the way back to his college days. But so I don't have a problem with them saying, all right, let's put him on another prove-it-year contract. And you can't worry about what the outside says. You can't worry about what Mike Florio says. Well, this is just devastating to a young man who's trying to get paid. And hey, we're running an organization.
Yeah, you know what's devastating? That $15 million he's going to collect this year. I'm devastated for it.
And if he gets another tag next year,
19.
It shoots up to 19. Kirk Cousins ended up playing into the monster contract. Yeah. Now, quarterback DN, you might say there's differences, but this is not crippling for Jadeveon Clowney's earning power or anything like that. It is, if you're the Texans, you have to do what's best for the Texans.
Yeah.
That's your job for your season ticket holders and your fan base. You can't just give out contracts if you think they're a bad contract. Now, obviously, Brian Gain was ready. Based on the reports, he was ready to say, let's go. Let's do it with Jadeveon. And the rest of the organization was, no. Well, rest of the organization. Bill O'Brien was, no. In this particular instance, I actually agree with Bill O'Brien if that's the way it really played out. I believe Jadeveon Clowney is a tag and watch play and figure it out after this year.
What's scary for anybody, though, coming in here, and if you think it's not, It definitely will play. Bill O'Brien doesn't get his way, you get fired.
It's hard to argue against that.
Because two GMs have come and gone, and Bill O'Brien is still standing there. And if Nick Caserio goes, you know what, I ain't doing that. I ain't going to go in there and say, you know, maybe
the power?
With a year to think about it. You know, Belichick is going to be leaving. And they're going to have to rehaul the entire organization. I could certainly see Caserio going, you know what? I think I'm just going to end up staying. Belichick's going to be gone.
Well, if they were to keep him,
McDaniels is going to take over, but I'm going to have power here.
If they were to keep him, they have to do that. But see, this is a great point to make, and not a litmus test, but it's a great issue to bring up. Because there's a thought going to be, well, I mean, who cares about the power? You work together in the draft. You work and you have common ground and you'll have some disagreements. But ultimately, you know, everyone's going to be on the same page. This is a great example. Okay, that's fine. How about this decision? And you know what? Until you have this decision, you don't realize, holy crap, this is why I wanted the power. Because if you believe, let's extend Jadeveon Clowney, and someone else, and Nick Caserio says, let's not extend Jadeveon Clowney, or vice versa, that is a big deal. That's when you say, wait a minute, we need a clear definition of who wins this one. Right. Because you could be sitting there saying, Bill O'Brien clearly said, I do not want to give this guy extra money, and I coach a team. And maybe Brian Gain said, I run the team, I run the 53-man roster, and I do want to. Well, that's where you better be sure about how this power structure is, because there's going to be breaking points like this decision where the two sides may not come together. And this is a major, major issue.
That's right. It's a direction of a program, because you're allocating that money, cap space money, to one guy. And if the coach doesn't believe in him, but the GM does, I mean, this is
that's why it matters.
I'm telling you, I'm predicting right now, Nick Caserio does not come here he does not come here after next year's draft. I'm just saying that is a real, real possibility. If he does, then it all worked out for the team. If he doesn't, they've gone this year without a general manager and waiting for Caserio. Another clown move. 829 ESPN 97.5.
A clowny move.
Watch out, Houston. That was a dad joke.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Did you see this story?
Sounds very dour.
Like there's a giant claw, digger claw, from Chernobyl. that's just sitting out in the woods. And if you touch it, you could die.
And it's from not Chernobyl? Like,
from Chernobyl.
So I was watching some of Chernobyl. Did y'all watch it all?
Yeah.
You watch all of it?
Yeah.
How long is it?
5 episodes.
You watch it all, Dale?
I stopped at 3. I still haven't gotten around to 4 and 5 yet.
Every time, it just seems like every time people...
What did you say?
Oh, nothing, I didn't say anything.
No, what did you say?
I didn't say anything.
You took an issue with me not finishing a show yet? That you had a problem, right? What'd you say?
I didn't have a problem with it.
Because you were...
I didn't miss it. What did he say?
No, he said something aggressive, and now he's taking it back.
I'm not taking it back.
What'd you say then?
Keep that...
Yeah, that's what I thought you
said.
What'd
he say? I missed it again.
He said, that's kind of dumb that I haven't finished the show, like it's going to go anywhere.
Well... But okay.
But what?
Are you watching it? Are you invested? Finish. Okay. See, that's the problem with you.
Are you TV watching?
That's the problem with you. You
are
can't
you TV
finish
watching?
What you start. Okay. What? That's why you're not married.
He's TV watching. Watching.
What?
That's why you're not married.
Wait a minute. What? Because
you could be happy.
You could be
married.
Happy like us, Del. Yeah.
But
you could be happy
but
like
haven't
us.
You both gone through a divorce?
Well, yeah. You got to get over that first one.
So you didn't finish
with
what you started.
I don't remember anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't talk about it, obviously. We know you can't talk about it. It's not allowed.
No, you got to get everyone. Everyone has to
you
get through the first one.
I met my wife at a listener event. We used to argue about Chris Sims and Major Apple.
I've heard the story.
Okay. You could meet somebody at a listener event, too.
Yeah. And you can argue about Al Golden versus Mario Cristobal.
Yes, you can go.
Why would I? Cristobal's not the coach. It's Manny Diaz.
Well, whatever.
What, wasn't he for a minute or something?
He was never the head coach.
Offensive line coach, but you could listen. You could go meet somebody. You like being with people.
No,
you could go meet somebody at one of our listener events and get married like
us. You know what? What I figured out. The last thing I want to do is discuss sports with someone after I'm done here.
Okay, here's a question for you, John. Where did you meet Wendy?
I met Wendy at a television station in Lafayette, Louisiana.
Oh, you were working together.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Del. Maybe there's somebody here you work with that you can get married to also.
Not married.
Why can't you marry Mary?
Quit putting intern on him.
No, it's not. It's nothing to do with Mary. I'm not marrying an intern. That's just a weird road to go down.
What can you marry?
Well, I guess intern out here.
What about Holly?
What's her name?
What about Holly? Content producer.
Who?
Holly.
Holly.
You think Holly's a marrying type?
Yes.
You're putting marriage on Holly? Why? Say it. It's radio.
Yes.
No, they've already seen you shake your head. It's too late now.
Yes. You can marry Holly.
You can marry Holly. I just feel like Holly likes the party.
Holly loves sports. I don't want to talk about sports after I'm done here.
What about Hope or somebody on the other side there on
boyfriend.
The sales side?
Hope has, a boyfriend.
So did Nicole.
Maybe you
could
get rid
time.
Of Courtney's fiance.
I'm not doing that. You stole Nicole from someone?
No, I shouldn't even say that. There's Dell always trying to listen.
Yeah, you said something.
Excuse me.
This intern's cute.
Once again,
talk to her.
My
See
life.
See what happens. You want to set it up?
No.
What's her name?
Michaela.
Let's bring her out here. What's her name?
Why would you help him?
I'm going to help him
because
out.
I don't want to go.
Michaela, why would you help him?
Because I don't want him to go, hey, use. Hey, you broad, come in here. That's why.
Yes, you do.
No, no, I don't actually. Because it will
probably. Use broad.
Come in here. I got to talk to you about something. I don't want him doing that to an intern.
No,
it's
just
a possibility.
Listen, let's bring her in and see.
No,
she's
no.
available.
Let's not.
What if she likes Miami football?
Ooh. I would say she must be miserable because that's what I've been the last decade.
So, you don't want anyone who wants to talk about sports.
I don't want to discuss this after I'm done talking about it. It's annoying. Oh, what did you think about this? I don't care. I don't want to talk to you about this.
I do get sports. I do get sports questions and comments from time to time.
Now you have.
I don't think it's annoying, but
you can't avoid it because you met her doing this.
Yeah,
you
she
can't
was
avoid
a listener.
That. Yeah,
she was a listener. I like it. I like it.
I don't like it.
Anyway, there's a giant claw.
Okay. How did this start?
I have no
Chernobyl.
Idea.
And you watch TV and you're not happy. You said you weren't happy,
said,
and John and I are just like,
no,
we're
he
super
said,
happy.
Oh, see, your problem is you don't finish anything.
Yeah,
you.
That's why you're not married. It seemed like everybody who was near Chernobyl's face blistered up and they exploded into pus.
Well, look at this thing. If you touch it, you could die. It looks like kind of like a spaceship kind of...
It's a claw.
It's a giant claw that they use for digging.
Are you saying if you touch it, you could die, or are they saying
They're
that?
Saying it. Yeah. If you touch it, you can die.
I noticed in episode one...
And they just threw it in a forest instead of burying it. Chernobyl digger claw could kill you 33 years after nuclear disaster. Don't touch it if you go there.
can't nuclear waste just wear off and just like go away?
No.
It does. The atmosphere? But not after like 60 years. It takes forever.
How about they just dumped it in the forest and people look at people walking around it, just taking pictures of it, as opposed to like burying it in giant cement and covering it so no one ever
touches
it.
That's probably the worst littering of all time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where are we going to do this? And I hear about, you know, dumping stuff and water sources is really, really terrible. I think this might be up there even higher. Dumping a nuclear waste claw just somewhere where kids could be using that as home base. Wow. All right, this is home base. Ready and, or do, you know, obviously in Russian, however you say Russian. And then kids are playing home, and then before you know it, blistered up pus.
So, listen to this. The average background radiation in Sydney is usually something in the 0.17 USVH. The claw is magnitudes higher, releases something in the region of 950 USV of radiation a day. Any length of time spent in the company of the claw is extremely dangerous. It's just sitting in the woods.
Yeah, Chernobyl happened in 1986, and apparently it won't be safe to go back there for 20,000 years. Yeah, so anything from that
and
area.
People, it's like it's a destination spot for tourists now.
Yeah, at a distance.
Neat.
They're still going. There's people walking around this claw.
Well, that claw, but as far as the actual site itself.
Well, they're walking around the claw now. Why don't you just go ahead and keep tabs on them for a few years.
See how it goes. See how it's working out.
You know, when has everything sounded like it's going to be good when you're near a claw?
I don't even want to be in the same world.
I like
as
how
Chernobyl.
You're calling it the claw. Yeah. Like what? There's a wrestler who used to have a move called the claw.
Yeah.
Where you put it on your head and could easily smash your brain out. Obviously, right. The two most terrifying things I've ever heard of is claw was scary.
Was that Bruno Sammartino?
I can't. Probably a few different people had claws. Yeah. But the claw. Anytime you hear the claw, why? That's never going to be good. This one's got radiation. What do you say? Oh, you know what's really great? I just got this new claw. Nothing good ever came from a claw.
What about that for a new wrestling move? The radiation claw.
Whoa. I'd be pretty serious. Now, is it worse than this? There used to be remember an old school wrestler? I was 5 years old, and this wrestler was named Ox Baker. Hairy as could be. Ox Baker used to have something called a heart punch, where if he punched you, he could punch you in your heart and give you a heart attack and you'd die.
Yeah, you'd die.
As a five-year-old, I'm like, what? This guy needs to be in jail. I couldn't believe he had killed people in the wrestling ring, I thought, with a heart punch, and he was walking around. Like, the heart punch. You've got a guy. All I could think of was this guy's more dangerous than Bruce Lee or anybody else right now.
If you can kill somebody by just punching them?
You could punch him in the chest with something called
a heart attack.
A heart punch? And this guy's walking around free?
Steve wants to know why we were crushing Dell and former ESPN co-worker Monica's dream together.
I didn't have that dream.
Monica had it.
What happened?
That is for you to say.
I don't know if you remember Monica.
You weren't
Monica.
Here, I don't think.
No, what happened?
No, well, Monica was an intern here.
And then she became a
and
promo.
And she and Dell were a thing.
We were never a thing.
She
became a promo team person.
Yeah. Oh, but not, okay, I thought she said Sports Center or something.
No, she was on the promo team. Yeah.
So did you ever
Barry Warner? How do you pronounce his name again?
Barry Warner
took her under his wing. And that wasn't odd.
Yeah, that's not something we're looking for. All right, 713-780-3776. That was our Chernobyl segment here on the show. If you want to get in, but basically,
talk some Chernobyl or Texans front office.
Are
stuff.
You going to watch the ESPYs?
Nope.
Not a second.
Oh, I probably will because my kids probably will want to see what the greatest shot of the season was.
And we already know who the team of the year is, right? They're flying the women's team there. They're not going to fly them. They're not giving
No,
them
they're
award.
The team of the world.
Yeah. What if they're there and Trump shows up?
Hopefully they get paid.
You're
Good
here.
Lord, if I hear about that again.
Oh, yesterday you were all in. Now it's over? Now you're tired of it?
Wait a minute. I pined for him one day. It's over. I'm done.
Yeah.
Okay.
I put everything John is here. Yeah, you're right.
I put everything I could into it.
I thought New John was a thing.
It's not a thing. Now you're back to calling her rapping ho. Are you back to doing that now?
I never called her that. I don't know what you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
I have the utmost respect for Megan.
Did you see her IG post after she won? And she just hit the IGs with a Nipsey Hussle song quote to the bottom. It may have been on, I don't know if it was Instagram or Twitter. I think it was on her Instagram page, and Black Twitter got a hold of it, and it was like, oh, she's coming to the barbecue for sure. She's definitely
Von Erich. She's is woke. The claw.
Yeah, the Von Erichs had the claws.
Von Erichs.
All the Von Erichs did.
Yeah.
They all had claws.
Candyman said, yeah, that's it.
Dangerous.
Yeah, and he claw. Said, okay, my Chinese accent is offensive, but your Russian accent isn't? Okay.
You can do Russian accents.
You can do Russian
yeah.
accent.
Yeah. There are some accents you're allowed to do.
Yep.
There are others.
Estelle's got their list.
There are others you can't do, particularly if they mimic a certain person.
What about... What about mimicking our great president? People are doing that. That's offensive.
He's a white guy. Those are allowed for whatever reason.
Our president's white. He seems kind of orange.
Well, he was born a white guy.
Are you sure?
He's transitioned into an orange guy, but that's allowed.
He's not transitioning.
Accents that are okay on the show. Russian, Italian, Nigerian, Mac Brown, Hatchet Man, Philip Rivers.
Nigerian isn't okay. Who said that?
It's true. Nigerian is okay. Apparently it is, right?
Dell's done it before, so it's got to be okay.
It's got to be.
I've heard him do it.
845 ESPN 97.5.
It's true.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is a Zadok Jewelers ESPN 97.5 Sports Update.
Zadok Jewelers, Houston's premier luxury jeweler for more than 40 years.
Here's Tony DeZiri.
Tune into The Usual Suspects with Joel Blank and Barry Lemonek starting at 1 on ESPN 97.5. It's 7 straight victories for the American League over the National League as they win the All-Star game by a score of 4-3. And a pair of Astros got the scoring started for the American League. Alex Bregman with a single off of Clayton Kershaw. And then Michael Bradley drove him home with an RBI double. Shane Bieber of the Indians was the game's MVP. Struck out the side in the fifth inning. In fact, American League pitchers had 16 strikeouts combined in the victory. The Astros getting back to work on Thursday, starting the second half of the season in first place in the AL West. They'll be in Texas for a 4-game slate against the Rangers, beginning an 8-game road trip that concludes in Anaheim. NBA Summer League in Las Vegas. The Rockets defeated Sacramento 94-92. Gary Clark led the Rockets with 24. I'm Tony DeZiri, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 850 on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here, 713-780-3776. The number. Warriors are waving Sean Livingston. That's not a surprise. He's guaranteed $2 million of a 7.7, so they're going to have $2 million against their books. So he's determined to continue playing. He's not as good anymore. Dell's guy Manny Fresh will tell you how Livingston should be the Warriors MVP. No, he didn't say that, but he did say something like that. Anyway. That it was because of them that they won the title, not because of Kevin Durant.
Or it was Iguodala, who he pointed to as a major piece of that team.
Yeah. And they, you know what they did? Beat it.
Well, yeah, because they can't pay anyone anymore.
Yeah. Well, no, they could keep their own guys.
They're not willing to. Right. Not after Kevin Durant left. They're not willing to pay that tax.
So where's Klay Thompson from a physical standpoint, an expectation standpoint of when he's going to be back?
Who?
Klay Thompson.
It's All-Star break-ish, a little after, I guess, March-ish, right around there.
How? This is a standard ACL tear?
What will their record be when he gets back, percentage-wise? Will they be 500? Will there be a 600 team? Will there be a 400 team?
Before he gets back?
When he gets back, when he steps on the court, what will their record be?
Well, this is my first question. You tear your... It was a torn ACL, right? I'm not missing. Yeah. There hasn't been a new diagnosis.
No.
You tore your ACL in June. July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March?
8 months. 9 months, yeah. Okay. I mean,
but he's still at a high cut. Like this,
and he's got to get basketball shape, and he's got to, you know.
Yeah, I guess he could technically come back. I just think it's, I don't think it's a given that Klay Thompson comes back right away and has an impact, a big impact on this season.
I think some of it, well, maybe a lot of it will have to do with if the D'Angelo Russell, Steph Curry pairing looks like a viable thing going forward and where they are in playoff seeding.
Now this
if they are terrible or like a 7 or 8 mm-hmm. seed, maybe he says, nah, yeah, we'll wait on this. We'll do this next year. But if they look like a team that, like, if you add a potential max player to the roster,
they could
has a shot to make a run, I think he, because Klay loves to play. That dude doesn't like coming off the floor.
No, he does. And the D'Angelo Russell thing, I think they stay. I mean, look, D'Angelo Russell and Draymond Green and Steph Curry, no, don't cry poor for that team. Guess what? Y'all got to do it now without super teams, so do it. And they should be a top eight team. I don't see them at 40% win percentage. I see him closer to a potential 50-win team. I don't think it would be crazy. More likely, the West is a little tougher. I think there is a chance if, let's say, Klay didn't come back at all. I think you're looking at maybe a 46-47-win team. I think it could be a pretty pronounced drop because Clippers, Lakers, you know, I mean, the Blazers are still going to be pretty solid. The Nuggets don't look like they're going to – I don't think the Nuggets look like a team that was just a fluke. The question is, are they good enough to win in a postseason? I think the Nuggets will keep winning. The Mavericks are going to be a lot tougher next year. They're going to be a lot tougher with Porzingis.
If Porzingis is healthy.
Yeah, I shouldn't just assume health with him. And Luka is going to be in year two. Luka is a major star. Luka is going to be a star, an absolute star. So, I think the Mavericks are going to be a problem too, so –
They're going to be in the bottom half.
They're not in the top four.
No.
So I think it is possible that Klay doesn't come back.
Yeah.
I think it's entirely possible. We'll see what happens
with D'Angelo Russell, if they're going to keep him around or not or whatever.
That's unbelievable. You give D'Angelo Russell that kind of contract and you do it knowing that you may end up just dealing him. But you just would rather have, hey, let's sign him and let's take this money and buy other players with it down the road if we want to move him. And he'll be a 1 year.
Well, at least he's a movable commodity.
Yes, and this is a completely new way of doing things. Where players are forcing their way out after a year, you've got Bob Myers could be looking at this as, hey, the flip side works too.
Will he cry? If obviously. When he trades D'Angelo Russell?
Yeah, he's a player's GM.
Well, of course he is. All right, 7780.
Daryl won't ever cry. Do you think Daryl has ever cried?
No.
Human tears, I mean.
No, not human tears.
What?
I don't think he's cried a human.
713-780-3776. Raheel joins us on the other side. What happens now is you ram that jack, baby.
One, two, three.
So Ramjack really has the opportunity to take your biggest concern, which is those cracks in your walls, your separation of your garage, your window frame, it's starting to separate from the brick. You're starting to see that stair step pattern in the mortar of your brick. You know how I know? Because these are all issues that I've had with homes when I've needed to get my my foundation taken care of. And I've done foundation work at three different homes. And these are all the telltale signs. When you see them, you know you've got problems. But at Ramjack, they can solve those problems. And when they do, then they do it right the first time. You don't have to do it twice. Do it right. Rely on the experts. Rely on Ramjack Foundation Repair. The first thing they do is give you an on-site evaluation where they'll come out, take measurements, look at all the issues that you're having, and they will determine where your low spots are and if you have low spots that need repairing. And they'll also tell you if, hey, you're not below the level yet, you've got some movement, but you're actually okay. They're very honest with their assessment. But if you do have issues that need to be fixed and they need to be fixed so that you can, you know, take care of your largest purchase, which is your home, RamJack has a patented system of deep-driven steel piles, and they can install push piles, interior brackets. They provide affordable solutions no matter how unique your problem is, and it's 100% American-made steel piles that meet or exceed International Code Council standards. So you are going to get tremendous foundation work done that is going to be successful the first time, and the warranty actually matters because they maintain the same patented technology time and time again. So that warranty certainly holds up. Make sure that if you have any signs of foundation issues that you call the experts that are trustworthy at RamJack. Go to RamJack.com or call 713-599-0102. That's 713-599-0102. Lifetime transferable warranty is available. Make sure that you call 713-599-0102.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.